Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Need to be in prayer for Tish Rasheem. She recovers. Need to be in prayer for Julie Howard, Judah's daughter. She's not doing all that well with her spinal meningitis and having a lot of complications, pain. It cannot give her a lot of morphine, but it doesn't take care of the pain. And need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. Need to be in prayer for Donald Wise. Need to be in prayer for Sharon Light. Nathan. Need to be in prayer for our young people as they prepare to leave Monday. And tonight we have a very important study, so let's get right to it. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so easy to get into a momentum of this world and lose sight of what the real issue is. It's not about America. It's about the body of Christ. It's not about time. It's about eternity. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will take these last words of Jesus Christ before the crucifixion, make them a reality to us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Also need to be in prayer for Cindy Edwards, our member in Wichita Falls, Texas, and her family. Now, this is after, where we are in our text, is after the upper room. The upper room has already taken place. Jesus Christ and the disciples walking out of the upper room, going over toward the Mount of Olives. He will be arrested in a few hours, six trials, crucified. Things that are on his mind, things that he has to say, I think would be most valuable. And we have one of the most important passages dealing with hate in all the Bible. Let's read them, and then let's go and take a look at them. They're talking about hatred by the world of Jesus Christ, hatred of the world of Christians. And you don't have to wait until it just comes out where they come up and hit you, shoot you. This hatred underlines the whole momentum. So let's start reading in verse 15 of John 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 17. This I command you, that you love one another. Now he's going to go from that love to the hate, why we need to love one another. Since the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, on account of me, account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin, sin of rejection of Christ. Who hates me hates my Father also. So he's gone from how they hate him, they hate us, and in verse 23, they hate me, they hate God the Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Now, kind of closes it off. The world hates you. We're going to need strength. When the Helper comes, this is the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father. Problem is, very few know how to be filled with the Spirit. That is the Spirit of truth. Teaches the truth. Who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me, and the world will hate you even more. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. We're looking at the hatred of the world, hatred ever by the world toward Jesus Christ. What I want to do is begin with a statement. It's not in our Constitution, but it's one of those fundamental things that we kind of hang on to. That's the separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. That's right. This is a very dangerous concept. To us it sounds like a wonderful concept, a wonderful arrangement. But I want to tell you something, people. The world resents it. And with this slogan, we have moved in our own country. And we got to understand what the world is. Got to understand what the world is, people. And I'm just going to be very frank tonight. I've been in fervent prayer, study, and this is an important message for me. We're talking about America. And we're not talking about America of Obama. This has been going on for decades. It has been moving antithetical and opposed to Jesus Christ. To the world, this slogan moves the world and the state to resent the church and to become hostile to the church. Here's the principle. The nature of the world is to resent, hate, any lack of conformity to itself. The nature of the world, the cosmic system, is to resent and hate any lack of conformity to itself. The world hates nonconformity. Oh, it speaks of its tolerance. But in the final analysis, the world hates nonconformity. It must shut it up. Just look at what's going on today. We have talk radio, which isn't talking about Jesus Christ. I get these people, oh, he's a believer. Oh, he's a Mormon, but he believes he's this, he's that. They're not talking about Jesus Christ. They're talking about America that they think is about this good. It's not. And we better wake up. But even with that, the world needs to shut up talk radio. The world loves patterns, its own patterns. And if you're not in line with that pattern, you're in trouble from the world system. Now let's think about this historically. Go back with me a moment to ancient Rome. Any religion, any belief, any movement that was not in conformity with Rome had to be crushed. Think about it. Had to be crushed. Christians would not pay their allegiance to Rome. They were crushed. Why did they insist on assistance, on allegiance to Rome? Even the Roman people. Well, look at all that Rome had provided. Rome had given them security. They didn't have security. before Rome, raiders would come into the outskirts of the Roman Empire with raids and rape and take their money and all of this. Rome came in and established peace. Rome came in and built roads. Rome came in and built trade. All hail Rome! And you better bow to Rome. Rome was not Christianity. It was not the body of Christ. And they persecuted and crushed Christians who did not bow down to Rome. Don't think this isn't coming here. Rome was threatened by any lack of conformity to Rome itself. So what's happening in America? Separation of church and state. And now the state views this as a lack of conformity to the state itself. Therefore, there's a resentment growing and growing and growing, and people, it's been growing for decades. We didn't take the Bible out of the judicial system when Obama came along. This has been going on for a long time. We didn't take it out of our educational system because Obama came along. It's been gone a long time. We've been teaching the old ideal of evolution for years and centuries of decades. We're on two different courses, people. The body of Christ, the church, is in one direction, and the world is in another. And the world hates the body of Christ. It views the church as a separate and distinct entity, and as such must be eradicated as enemies of the state are gotten in line with our pattern of thought. In truth, the world and the church are mutually exclusive. In truth, America and the body of Christ are mutually exclusive. Jesus Christ tells us you cannot serve God and man. You cannot have two masters. You will love the one and hate the other. It is the world that hates the church. Look at James 4, please. James chapter 4. We got to start taking Christianity seriously, people. Got to quit thinking America and Christianity are synonymous terms. They're not. James chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 4. You adulteresses. This is not physical. This is not physical adultery. This is spiritual. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. People, we got to get oriented. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about eternity. It's not about time. Verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Holy Spirit, which He has made to dwell in us. He's in opposition to the world, people. We've been studying the Holy Spirit on Tuesday night like we haven't in a long, long time. Somehow I'm going to get it in on Sunday morning. But this has got to start becoming a reality, and very few people even know how to be filled with the Spirit. Very few understand what spirituality even is. People, we've moved to a crucial point, in my opinion, in Christianity and the world. Christianity and the state. For so long we have thought they are synonymous, but not so. We have been lured into evil, been lured into hostility toward God. And the way that so many Christians are acting today, this is easy to see. The world does not honor or glorify Jesus Christ. The world does not honor nor glorify Jesus Christ. America does not honor or glorify Jesus Christ. The church is here to honor and glorify Christ. The church is here to make Christ the central issue. Wherever you are, they are diametrically opposed to each other. Historically, we have been moving in this course of hatred of the world that eventually is going to lead to a head-on collision. And Christ warned us. We just haven't paid attention. I haven't. But it woke me up, this study. So many things historically have pointed to this fact. We just see it just in my life, my short lifetime. Just seeing the movement in this country moving away from God. It's headed for a head-on collision. Changing attitude about God. Changing attitude about the church. Changing attitude about the market system of America. From silly little things like closing on Sunday, to what we're teaching in our schools. The whole gamut. This movement toward a collision with Christianity. It's no surprise we have the administration we do today. It's been building for decades. We've just been lured into the sleep. The state and the true church are headed in two different directions. And I'm talking about the true church. Those who understand what's going on in the Bible. They manifest different allegiances. Our allegiance is to Jesus Christ. The world's allegiance is to mankind, their ideal of mankind, the earth, all these types of things. The world is more to self-satisfaction, the unity of mankind. Let's all get behind and worship the earth. Well, the church has an entirely different mindset, or should. A mindset about Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 4. Hours before the crucifixion, Jesus Christ lays this out for the disciples and for us. It's been going on 2,000 years. We've just been lured in America. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are from God, not America, not the world. And we've got to be conscious of that. We're from God. This is a bold statement. This is a hard statement. You're from God. Remember that. Little children, and have overcome them, the world, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, Satan. God is in you. He is not in the world. Satan's in the world. God's in you. Look at the first line of verse 5 and 6. Verse 5, they are from the world. Verse 6, we are from God. Can't be any clearer. Blatant. Verse 5, they are from the world. Therefore they speak as from the world. And I can't believe they think in evolution. I can't believe they think of Mother Earth and say green and all. Oh, yes, we can if we understand the Bible. They're thinking in terms of the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as the world. And note, the world listens to them. That's people throughout this country. Verse 6, we're from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us because they're listening to the world. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What I want to point out here is in verse 4, you are from God. Verse 5, they're from the world. And we better realize this, people. Quit trying to hold on. Quit trying to hold on what isn't. And let's hold on to what is the reality of Christ. We're trying to save a country and proclaim Christ. It's not about America. It's never been about America. It's been about Jesus Christ. We've just kind of confused the two. They are from the world. Verse 6, we're from God. We've got to listen to God. We've got to listen to Scripture. Bible church is on the decline. Pastor studying and teaching word by word, verse by verse, on the decline. People aren't listening to the word, yet they're from God. We're not surprised at the condition of the world today. This attitude should not lead to arrogance, haughtiness, or a superior exclusiveness. But if God has truly revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, and He has, then any thinking that is not in line with that thinking, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, tries to set anything and it sets this aside, is of the world. And we all, well, okay, so they change this and they change that and they teach this in our schools and they do away with Christmas and they do with Christ and Christmas. They do, okay. People, we're in two different worlds. There's Christianity and there's the world. And they're headed to a great collision with each other. And we're living in that time. I'm sorry. People, eventually, these two worlds are going to collide. The world and Christianity are going to collide. This is the time that you and I are now living on in our country. And it has been coming for some time. We've just been ignoring it. Well, we can ignore it no longer. Can ignore it no longer. This isn't something that just creeped up in the last election. We've laid the groundwork for this election for decades. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse as more and more people of this world are not in the body of Christ. Fewer and fewer. And as you and I are fewer and fewer, and if we make our stand for Christ and we're witness for Christ, the world hates us. It's got to shut it up. We're not in conformity with the world. We're not in conformity with America. We're not in conformity with what's going on. Society. We're not in conformity with the moral structure of our society. We're not in conformity with the marriage structure of our society. Even the marriage structure of our society. So many things. These things happened long before Obama was ever even born in Africa. This has been going on. Setting it up in this country. We're on a collision course. Christ's word should be taken very seriously. The world hates you. The world hates you. So it is the nature of the world, the state, ran by the cosmic system, to resent and hate that which refuses to conform with it. Church and state. The world now sees this as this church is not in line with this state. They're in difference. This is the enemy, the church. It must be silenced. There is only one true God, only one truth. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, there are many forms of the cosmic system. They may not even get along. But all have one thing in common, absolute hatred of Jesus Christ. It may be capitalism, it may be communism, it may be a market system, it may be a socialistic system, it may be whatever it is. There are so many forms of the cosmic system, but there's only one truth in Christianity. Only one. And we have all these other things. We like to sit here and say, oh, this one's better than this one, and this one's better than that. People, they all hate Jesus Christ. Got to understand that. And to reject that is denial of Christ's own words. Oh, I don't believe. Yes, people, I don't care what ism it is. It's not Christianity. It's not Christianity. It's not proclaiming Christ crucified, resurrected, coming again. We claim we believe He's coming again. This is the truth. The world doesn't like it. So there are many forms of this cosmic system. They may hate each other, but I'll tell you what, they join together in their hatred about the church. In America, the world has moved rapidly to total self-centeredness, self-satisfaction. It's all about me. Immorality, alternate lifestyles, greed, money, security. And a Christian comes along and talks about a lifestyle that lines up with the plan of God. You're the enemy, people. You're not in line with our thinking. You don't believe in same-sex marriage. You don't believe, you think homosexuality is wrong. You think that justice is a common law that is given by God in His creation of man. You're the enemy. You're the enemy. We hate you. Hatred of the world manifests itself. Hatred by the world of the church. Get that Bible out of our state system. Get that Bible out of America. Get that Bible out of our judicial system. Get that Bible out of our educational system. Remove its moral influence. Let's get rid of those who show allegiance to it. That's where we're headed. All these things are just indications the world hates Christ. And they've got to get rid of that influence of Christ, His Bible, and those who dare to follow Him. That's what Christ is talking about here. So remove the Bible. And years, decades ago, they removed it from the judicial system. It's no longer common law. It's no longer about a law that Aristotle even wrote about dealing with God. It's a law that's based upon man's needs as they change. Get it out of the educational system. Get rid of it for creation. It's got to be evolution. And let's just put down anyone who believes in the creation attitude. No matter how much science, how much proof, whatever, put it down. Silence it. Let's get rid of those who show allegiance. The world loves its own. Christ said so. The world loves its own and hates those who do not conform to it. And if the church conforms to it, it's no longer the body of Christ. If the church resists it, it'll be hated by the world. So this whole movement of the separation of church and state has accelerated the hatred of the world for the church, because the church will not conform to the state. Separation, not conformity. And the world hates that. Let's take a look at why the world hates Christ and us. Christians. First of all, the world hates us because it hated Christ first. The world hates us because it hated Christ first. Look back at verse 18. Since the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. The world hates us because it hated Christ first. It's not about you and I. None of us like to be hated by somebody, disliked by somebody. We all like to be thought we're just pretty good old Joe. What do you mean you don't like me? I'm a pretty good old boy. People, the world hates us, but it has nothing to do with us. If you make your stand for Christ. Secondly, the world hates us because the world hates anything that does not conform to it. The world hates us because it hates anything that will not conform to it. Because the world and the church are mutually exclusive. And we've got to understand that. I'm sorry. Three, very close. The world hates us because we are chosen out from this world. The world hates us because we are out from this world. Points 2 and 3, let's look at verses 19 and 20. Verse 19, if you were of the world, but you're not, of the world, the world would love you. The world would love its own. But, contrast, because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. We're not of the world, people. The world resents this fact. We're not of the world, and the world resents this fact. There's a fundamental difference between the world and the body of Christ, between America and the body of Christ. Notice in verse 19. Look at verse 19 with me a moment. I want you to see something rather interesting that you don't find in too many verses. One word, five times. The world is mentioned five times in verse 19. If you were of the world would love you, but because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world hates you. Five times in one verse. People got to understand what this world is. This world is any system that is not Christianity, that does not honor Christ as the Son of the living God. So five times it refers to the world system, the world thought, directly opposed to Christian thought. We must be aware of these facts in history now. We must be aware of the fact that we're not of this world, people. We're not of this world. And I grew up, bomb, I'm an American, and I da 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 da. Hey, I'm not, I am of Christ. I am born from above. I don't belong here. If we had this thinking, our whole attitude about death would change. Boy, when I die, I'm going home. Right now, I'm an alien. I don't belong here. But in this thinking here, it just we have to understand that this world thought is directly opposed to Christian thinking. We must be aware that we're not of this world. For this reason, the world, people, because we're not of this world, the world resents, hates, and must get rid of us. And must get rid of our influence. Get rid of our influence. Get into its own philosophy. People, we must stop trying to integrate Christianity with the world. Be more direct, we must stop trying to integrate Christianity with America. They are different, with different goals, different allegiances, different foundations. The world hates us. We're chosen out of this world. I want you to think about something. Those of you that have gone through the study of Job with me, think about Job's three friends. It opened up, they were all in agreement. The four men were in agreement. They were friends. Once Job began his journey, what did they do? They started ganging up on him. As he began a noticeable change in his whole thought process, they resented him and they attacked him. He was no longer one of them. Job was their friend. The four men were close. Job started on his journey. He started changing his thinking, and they resented him. He no longer thought as they did. No longer thought in the way about God as they did. They were friends because they all had thought the same way. They were like-minded. They were conformed to the same thinking. Job took off on a journey with God, and he wasn't thinking the way they did, and they resented it. And they attacked him. They came after him with their words, speech after speech. God moved into Job's life. Everything changed. Job's whole friends, all of his so-called friends, started changing. People, when God starts touching you, the world's going to start changing its attitude. If the world doesn't change its attitude, it's because they see no difference in you and the world. See no difference in what you believe about God, creation, the whole ideal of the future, all of these things, the crucifixion, the resurrection, all these things. From Christmas to resurrection morning, they don't see any difference, then they don't care. We've allowed these things to happen. This is the concept behind the statement, you're not of the world. I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We were of the world, like Job with his friends. God chose us out of the world, and now the world hates us. We have spent time on the doctrine of election on Wednesday night. We spent time on doctrine of election and then the doctrine of Lapsarianism. The world hates this doctrine, people. Even though it could have responded and chose Jesus Christ and been elected in Christ, they chose not to, and therefore they hate the doctrine of election. They hate it! That wasn't just a nice little doctrine for us. They hate that doctrine. The doctrine of election. That you responded to the call of Christ. They hate it. If we're going to hell, all of us are going to hell. And they resent anyone who's not going to hell. They resent anyone who's not going to spend eternity in a lake of fire with them, but is going to spend it with God. They reject that. Two entirely different movements. The fourth reason the world hates us because it is ignorant of God the Father. The world hates us because it is ignorant of God the Father. Look at verse 21 of chapter 15. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Oh, this guy believed in God, and he had some touch of the Constitution. This guy believed, and they didn't know God. It's the one who sent his son to die on a cross. Got to deal with facts, truth. Oh, they may have a God consciousness, but it's not a worship of God. They don't know him. They don't know him. He's talking about Jews here, people. He's talking about Jews too. Who, oh, we know God. No, they don't. No, they don't. The world does not recognize that God the Father is the Father of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent by God. And you declare that you do, then you have two distinct different ideas and views. Verse 21, but these things. See that conjunction, Allah? But is used to introduce that while Jesus Christ will suffer persecution because of who and what he is, we do not suffer persecution because of who and what we are, because of ourselves. But it's very important here. He suffered persecution because of who and what he is, but not us. They don't care at all about Herman Maddox. They don't care at all about you. But if you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, they hate. And they're going to persecute. But it also introduces something more important here. The hatred of Jesus Christ and the ignorance of God the Father as the primary source of persecution. But all these things, oh, what things? Oh, what things? This depends on how dark the society is. See, we've been lured to sleep because it hasn't been all that dark. It's been kind of light. But it depends on how dark society is. This depends on how far away they remove themselves from the Bible in that society. How far away they remove themselves from the Bible in the judicial system. They will do things contrary to the Bible, the educational system. How far they move away from there? And they start moving into anti-biblical principles and morality, in tradition, in education, judicial, science, every area. Going as far as they can in the darkness without the Bible. So what they're going to do depends on how far they go. From the churches, they pervert, distort the gospel, change the moral teaching of the Bible? Because many of our churches in America want to stay in the status quo. They want to stay in the status quo. They want to be part of the whole thing. People, you can't do it. I'm sorry. You just can't. You can't serve both. Got to make up your mind. But so many churches want to be part of this whole world and get along with the world and see the world likes us. And, well, we have all these thousands of people and all of this, and they write about us and all that. And we're just, everybody's okay. I'm okay, you're okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. If it's completely black, let's go to the completely black, the Muslim world. The darkness of the Muslim world. They just write out and murder Christians. It's going on right now in the Sudan, Nigeria, places in the world. They just write out kill them. Violently. This is the leading of their religion under Satan. Let's take America. You know American history? When missionaries first came to this dark continent to bring the gospel to Indians, what happened? They were skinned alive. Boiled in water. Burned. Mutilated. This was the leading of Satan under the heathenistic religion. Throughout the history of the Roman Catholic Church, they would often mass murder Christians who did not agree with the Roman Catholic Church, leading to their false, I did not conform to the Catholic Church. Satanic influence. Remember, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. The early centuries of the church, the Jews, religious Jews, would kill by stoning those who believed in this Jesus. People got to understand, the world is in direct conflict with the body of Christ, the truth of Scripture, and it hates it. Hates it. The Jews had that background, but they hated the truth to the point of destroying it. Rome, throughout the first few centuries, would persecute Christians. Throughout the history of the church, there have been various governments hostile to Christianity. Religions under the Christian umbrella were and still are hostile to those who do not agree with them, do not conform to them. Great, and I say that with tongue in cheek. John Calvin goes out and murders somebody right after teaching the word. Oh, he was filled with the Spirit, wasn't he? He understood Scripture. Go out and murder somebody because they didn't conform to his thinking. People, if you don't conform to the thinking of the world hates you. Grace, okay, you have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. But the world hates if you do not conform. Families are often hostile toward Christians when one of their own marry a Christian. They forbid that Christian in their home. Various people like the Jews often will disown a son or daughter who become a Christian or marry a Christian. Both religion and government have various degrees of hostility, of persecution toward Christian. So what are some of these things? Well, they can just ostracize you, criticize you, call you names, slander, malign, done by Christians to other Christians. Because you don't conform to them. Don't conform to their legalism. They make it difficult at work in the workplace. As we're seeing in our own society, the more you hold to Christian values, you become an enemy of the state. So this list, but these things, goes on and on and on. But remember, in our context, Jesus Christ is about to be crucified. They hunted him down, they the religious crowd, and the Romans, political state, religious state, hunted him down. They warned people to stay away from him, that he was an enemy of Moses. Then they captured him, arrested him, beat him, spit on him, crucified him. What makes us think we're going to escape? When it gets this tough, what makes you think you're going to escape? You're going to have to either back off, keep silent, or you're going to suffer persecution and the hatred of the world. That's what he's saying. That's why it ends with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to make it without the Holy Spirit. You're not going to make it. You may stand up boldly in arrogance, but as far as making it with the courage, This is the courage that the Holy Spirit gives that we saw last night. If you understand what the filling of the Spirit is. It's what we need. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why he ends with this. The whole study of Ages, he ends with two verses. The Holy Spirit. You're going to need it. Or you're going to back off and become a coward. So, this nation becomes darker and darker by its rejection of God, Christ, the Bible. It gets darker and darker. With this darkness becomes even bolder resentment and treatment of Christians. Until it reaches an all-time high in the tribulation. Then you look at verse 21. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. They, who are they? The world that hates Jesus Christ will do. Present active indicative. Present tense here. This is what they constantly do. Present active indicative denotes what's going on habitually throughout history as they remove the Bible and God consciousness and God awareness and gospel teaching and the structures of the society from the Bible. These are the things they will do. Now, why will they do these things? For my name's sake. That sounds kind of good, for my name's sake. Only it's really not a positive statement. It's a negative. We have dia plus the accusative. The preposition, Greek preposition, dia plus the accusative, on account of. On account of my name. Because of my name. Not for my name's sake, like benefit, but because of my name. On account of my name. This is the word, the Greek word, onoma, name, title, character. All that his name speaks of. The NIV says, because of my name, which is good, on account of my name, all that the name of Jesus entails. First and foremost, Savior. And the world resents that you tell it needs a Savior. The world resents it that you tell it it has a need that only Jesus Christ can fulfill. What makes you so special about Jesus Christ? They hate it. They test the need of a Savior. Know everything they can to avoid Jesus Christ. From philosophy to religion to lawlessness. Why do you think Jesus Christ is a curse word in movies? Just get rid of it. It is not a reverent name. He's not the Savior. Exclusiveness. Only those who believe in Him. And the arrogance of man, I do not want to believe in Him. And then I resent that only if I believe in Him I can be saved. I resent that. I do not believe in Him. I resent that you say that. And I want to shut you up. You are wrong. You are out of line to tell me I need a Savior. I need to believe in this Jesus. You're wrong. And I resent it. And I hate you for saying it. But you know what? Not only is it exclusive, it's all inclusive. Whosoever will. The grace offer is there, but they don't want it, and they hate it, and they hate us. The authority that goes with this name. People got to recognize the authority of Jesus Christ, the one sent by God. Coming up in the last phrase, that he comes under the authority of God. This is why the Jews hated him. They hated him that he said that. This is why man hates him today. He and he alone is from God. John 5:43. Just I'll read it to you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. He said this to religious Jews. Their hatred of Jesus is because they hate his Father. They hate God, and when he told them that, they resented it all the more. People are going to resent some of the things I've said about this country. I'm sorry, I don't care. This is what Scripture is dealing with. This is what he's getting ready to be crucified, and he talks about how the world hates. We've got to understand the truthfulness of it. His character, the dignity of his character, the dignity of his righteousness. The world knows that it cannot even come close to his dignity, to his righteousness, and they hate that. They desire even more to encourage others to oppose him. People, this is what we have going on. The world is encouraging others to oppose him. Look at Romans chapter 1 a moment, please. We studied this some time ago, but let's just refresh your memory. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Romans 1, 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, that's what's going on in our world today, in our country, God gave them over to a depraved mind. This is what's happening. To those things which are not proper, according to God. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, socialized world, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God. This is a society. This is our world. Insolvent. Arrogant. Boastful. Inventors of evil. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. Untrustworthy. Unloving. Unmerciful. And verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. It's a collision of two worlds, Christianity and the world we live in. Most of you are probably like me. We've heard and loved this name of Jesus Christ all our lives. But I want to take a look at some things in Scripture with you as we close tonight. First of all, look at 1 Chronicles. Way back in 1 Chronicles. After the Decalogue, before the Psalms. First Chronicles chapter 16. First Chronicles 16, verse 10. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. So what do we have here? Glory, seek, and be glad. Happiness. Look at verse 29, same chapter. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering. Come before Him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Give glory. Bring offerings. Worship Him. Look at verse 35, same chapter. Then say, save or deliver us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations, the world, to give thanks to the holy name and glory in Thy praise. Give thanks. Look at Psalm 29. We're going to go through these rather rapidly. I'm running out of time. I'm sorry. Psalm 29. Psalm 29:2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. We don't do that in this country. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Give glory and worship. Psalm 66, verse 2. Psalm 66, verse 2. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praises glorious. Sing. Psalm 72:19. Psalm 72:19. Blessed be His glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with His glory. It's not. This world is not. This nation's not. It says amen and amen. Look at Psalm 79:9. 79:9. This is a powerfully important verse, people. Pay attention to it. Help us, O God of our salvation, because we're in such need. Nope. Help us, O God of our salvation. Why? For the glory of thy name. Do it for your sake. Deliver us. Forgive us our sins for thy name's sake. People are going to suffer persecution for his name's sake. Look what we got. Salvation, deliverance, forgiveness, all for his own glory, for his own sake. Help, deliverance, forgiveness, all due to his name, not ours, not us. Psalm 96:8. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Recognize his glory. Bring an offering. Come and worship. Got to bring an offering and understand the greatness of his name. Psalm 102:15. Psalm 102:15. So the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. This will happen one day in the future, but not today. Not here in America. There's no fear of God. Psalm 105:3. Psalm 105:3. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. People, we should seek the Lord. Not seek to save America. Forget it. We should seek the Lord daily. And glory in it. Seek the Lord. Be glad. There's happiness. Psalm 106:47. These are things that we need to do in the body of Christ. Psalm 106:47. Deliver us, O Lord our God. And gather us from among the nations to give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Not to the nations, people, but to Jesus Christ. Psalm 115:1 is powerful. Psalm 115:1. Very important phrase at the beginning of verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us. But to thy name give glory. See, it's about him. The world hates him. We're going to be persecuted because of him. Not to us, O Lord, not to us. But to thy name give glory because of thy love, because of thy truth. There's no love and truth in this country. It's in the body of Christ. Psalm 148:13. Psalm 148:13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. Not America, not our forefathers, but the name of Jesus Christ. His glory is above heaven, earth, and heaven, praised and exalted. Now we move to that section of Isaiah that's so important between the discussion between God and Satan. Look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42:8, very important section of Scripture. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. In other words, I will not give my glory to a nation. Give my glory to the world. Belongs to Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, that's how we were called out from the world, by the name of Jesus Christ, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made, constantly remembering our origin, which our world rejects. Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, for my own sake. Now this goes opposite of Psalm 115:1, remember, not to us, not to us. Look at Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, I will act. Not for you, for me. For how can my name be profaned and my glory I will not give to another, give to the world. It's going to persecute. The world's going to persecute us. God is going to act. Isaiah 59:19. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, for He will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. Not today. Nations do not fear the Lord, but they will one day. And let's close with 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now people, if the world hates you because you're rude, if the world hates you because of something you've done or said, that doesn't count. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reviled, insulted, reproached, hated, all those come under the word. If you are insulted, reproached, hated, for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because the Holy Spirit of God rests upon you. It goes with the end of chapter 15, where he talks about the sending of the Holy Spirit. It's not your sins that they're going to reproach you or hate you. It's not your own actions, but because of Jesus Christ. Here is the point. The world hates that name. They hate Jesus Christ. The world, which is the United States of America, hates this name. We don't want it in our educational system. Don't want it in our judicial system. Not allowed to mention that name in public schools. Commencement exercises. You can mention Muhammad, but you cannot mention the name of Jesus. Why do we even care about this world, people? Why do we care? They don't even want the name Jesus mentioned. We're in two warfare worlds and are headed for a collision. Give glory to that name daily. Seek that name. I'm just going to give the names, the words that we've still looked in all these verses. Give glory. Seek that name in your life. If that name makes you glad, if you worship that name, give offerings in that name. If you give thanks in that name, sing to that name. If you realize that all deliverance and help and forgiveness are in that name, the world's going to hate you. Hatred of the world is going to come over you. People, you'll have no problem. No problem whatsoever if it's for the sake of Christ. It's for the glory of Christ. Let me show you one man in history. His attitude about the reproach and the hatred of the world. Hebrews chapter 11. The world hates. They do these things to you. What things? Things that we've been looking at. Persecutions. Let's look at Hebrews 11. And let's read 24 through 26. 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ. You don't think Christ is in the Old Testament? Look what it says about Moses. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He's looking forward to that reward. So people, we have to make up our mind. The world's going to hate you if you stand for Christ, and it's going to get worse and worse. Don't think it isn't. Christ has warned us in John 15. If we do not conform to the world hates. The body of Christ cannot conform to this world. So let's close in a word of prayer. on his way to the cross. Jesus Christ stopped along the road to warn us. And what they were doing to him, they would do to us. But not because of us, but because of him. They had to silence him. They must silence anyone who stands for him. Father, I pray you'll take the things of this passage we're seeing. Let them lay heavy on our soul. Challenge us. Jolt us into thinking correctly of where we are in history. The body of Christ in the world. The true church in the world. Truth. The lies of the world. Headed for this great collision. And Father, each day we have to make up our own mind. Is it about Jesus Christ or is it about just getting along? Pray you take these things, Father, and become a reality to us. We thank you for your Spirit that will give us the boldness and the courage to make that stand that Moses did. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.